Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I don't care what nobody say. It's definitely harder being a female in this music industry than a male, period. I don't care if you're an artist, if you're a manager, PR, fucking sound lighting, the sound or lighting. Like, I don't give a fuck. Being a female is harder. I've been told, you know, you're biracial growing up. I don't know. The older I get, I feel like biracial isn't really suitable because bi is two. When Gucci sent me that verse back, I said, oh, hell no. I'm about to read the one. It's always going to be a little, when your daddy is a part of your and you rapping about popping pussy, you know.
This is DJ Semtex. It's the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Right now, I'm with a very, 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 very dope MC. Like, she's one of the greatest. She's the queen of the South. I'm talking about Latto. And she's here right now in this edition of the podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
Hey, I'm good. And I just want to say, you know, that Fast and Furious joint, Fastlane, that was a great look, man. Like, you're in the film.
And the crazy thing is, I had recorded that so long ago, so like it was like on the way back burner, like I was not even worried about it. And then it was like, oh, we got to shoot the video for Fast and Furious. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot all about that shit.
That's crazy. Hey, did you meet any of the cast?
No, I didn't. I didn't even get to meet Don or Dirk. The features on the song, Dirk, you know, he was dealing with the passing of his brother, and then Don, I think we just shot at two different times, so it was pretty much like in and out.
Right. Okay. So, listen, let's get into it right away. Like, first of all, I want to know, yo, Latto, what made you want to pick up the microphone?
Okay, this is crazy, right? Okay, so my daddy is a street dude, so he was like, you know, just always in the streets, friends with managers, rappers, just on the scene. I grew up around this like fast lifestyle. Like my daddy, he would build these nice cars, like candy paint, big rims, like the fancy like hood cars. And people would want him to put the cars in their videos because he already on the scene. They like pull up with the da da da. We want to put it in the video. So I was a daddy's girl, so I'll always be with him. So I'll be with him when he on set of these music videos, pulling up at studios. And he wasn't, you know, a rapper or nothing, but he was just always around, whatever. And so I guess growing up around that lifestyle, I just kind of like, I don't know, it just was second nature. And then at the same time, I'm such a, like, schoolgirl. Like, I was A+, honor roll, AP classes, everything. So language arts was always my favorite subject. So I think just like growing up around rap and rappers and music, and then language arts already my favorite subject. So I always loved writing poems and stuff like that. So it kind of just like intertwined those two things.
Okay, what kind of video sets were you on? Like, was there any classics, any big joints that you was there on the set?
Actually, one of them is Sierra Goodies, and that's wow. Like to Atlanta for sure. Like, you turn on CC, it's up.
So, you know, you're young, you're coming through, you're on these sets. What were you like, yo, I need this. I'm going to do this one day.
Like a goal of mine.
Yeah, did it inspire you, like being on them sets, seeing all these big artists and everything?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like I'm seeing one of the video shoots I was on too was B5, All I Do. And that's like the group of young, well, I don't think they're young anymore, but at the time they was like super young and young, whatever. So I'm like, dang, they doing it, I can do it. So it was definitely inspiring, and then that the lifestyle, just seeing them have stylists and assistants and everybody like, yo, like all the commotion and stuff. I'm like, oh, I like this.
That's dope. That's dope. So, Atlanta, there's a lot of amazing rappers from that place, many different styles. I've been there a few times, and Ludacris is dope, Andre 3000, and then you've got like the crazy styles, like what Lil Jon's done with Kronk and everything else. It's like, and the Yin Yang Twins. Like, who
Yeah.
inspired you though, as an artist, as a lyricist?
Gucci. I loved Gucci. I always loved Gucci Mane growing up. So when I did the song with him, that was like early bucket list. Like I'm like, dang, I'm doing this early in my career. So that was a big thing for me because I always loved Gucci. I love Outkast. Yeah, I mean, Atlanta as a whole, I listen to a lot of Atlanta artists, but definitely my favorite would be Gucci. My daddy a hip hop head, so like I listened to everybody growing up. I heard everybody growing up, but I just something about Gucci.
All right. So, 2020 was a big year for you.
Yeah.
Queen of the South came out, but the whole situation about your name, I was in a few clubhouse rooms where people, like, a lot of people had a lot to say. Like, I don't know if they were in a position to even say anything, but they were saying things. But just to recap for people who may not know, how did you get your original name of Mulatto?
Okay, so the original, even before Mulatto, was Miss Mulatto. So that was given to me. I honestly did not even know what it meant when it was brought up. Like I was already rapping and making songs before I even had a stage name. So when we're thinking about like a stage name, we brainstorming or whatever. The name Miss Mulatto was brought up, and I was like, "What does that mean?" Whatever, and I was told that it meant mixed, like to be mixed. Didn't know anything historically, anything from the past. I didn't know anything, the weight that this term held. I had no idea. I'm 8 years old, so I definitely don't know. I just know what I'm told. So, whatever, I'm running with Miss Mulatto, I do the rap game. But I had already like created this buzz and like social media following, YouTube numbers, like they were already like doing pretty good. So when the rap game came about, they reached out based off of the buzz and just commotion I had already created in my own city just from doing shows, pep rallies, talent shows, open mics. I was just already working. So they reached out like, hey, we want to do the rap game. I'm still Miss Mulatto at this point. Boom, do the rap game. Now we filmed the rap game when I was 16. It came out when I was 17. I do the rap game tour when I'm 18. And at this point, okay, now I'm 18, I'm getting a little older. I'm like, people are telling me, you know what that means. It has this historical definition, da da da. And I'm kind of like stuck in my ways because, yeah, I'm getting older, but I'm not grown. So I'm like a little immature minded. I'm like, I know what I mean. I don't care what y'all think. I know my intentions, whatever. So I'm kind of not being receptive to what the people have to say. So boom, but I'm getting older, so I'm like, I don't really like the Miss Mulatto no more. So I end up dropping the Miss and just going by Mulatto. And I was going by Mulatto for a couple years, but I'm getting older, so I'm like, I'm starting to think about what people are saying at this point, because now I'm like 21. I'm starting to think, I'm like, dang, okay, I that's not my intentions, and I don't ever want to be like taken the wrong way. So why keep with this concept that's not clicking? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting older. I'm like, you know what? I talked to my label. I'm like, look, I don't want to go by this no more. I want to change my name, whatever. And they like, you know, yeah, for sure we can do it. It's not going to be a quick process. You got so many people involved. You got music on all different platforms. You got legally, you got copyrights and trademarks and all type of stuff that people don't even know about. They like, what's taking so long for you to change it? But it's so much stuff behind the scenes that the people don't really know about. You know, like, it was a lot of work and opinions that went into this name change. But all in all, it's just me just maturing and just opening my mind to other people's opinions in a healthy way, though, because you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen. But when it's something that's like, having you be looked at in a way that you don't want to be looked at, or your intentions aren't the going the right way, it's just like, why not change it? And then I felt like at some points I kind of felt hypocritical, because like, I'm getting on Instagram and like advocating for things like police brutality and the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and I was on the front line when George Floyd got killed. And I just kind of felt like awkward in a sense, like, name is this, but I stand for this. And my mind just started opening, and I was just like, you know what? I'm done with that. Let's start taking the steps to change it officially. And this day is a lot of.
I mean, you know, like I was saying before, you know, 2020 was a tumultuous year. You know, the situation with George Floyd, it changed a lot. It changed a lot of things, and people was talking a lot more. And then you got a pandemic and everyone's on lockdown and everything else. So everything got amplified to be something bigger than what it actually was in certain conversations. But it was crazy to hear people on Clubhouse who were like, it's kind of fascinating, because, you know, they wouldn't come on Clubhouse saying any artist is dope. Like, by the way, you need to know about this new artist. This artist is killing it. You need to know about him. Da, 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 da. But they were like, oh, there's this girl called Mulatto. She's doing this. And da, 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 da. And then there's other people who were like, yeah, but in the South, that's not an issue. You know, there's a lot of people who are like fighting for you as well at the same time.
Yeah, the Clubhouse commotion was crazy. I was in one of the rooms at one of the times, and then my team was like, get out of there, whatever.
I was in that room.
But I think it was just like, it's the pandemic, it's all this stuff going on. It just was like all-time high for that type of conversation. So I feel like it was just especially disrespectful with the state of the world at that time and currently, because it's still developing and unfolding. But I kind of felt disrespectful in a way to have a name like that while all this stuff is going on. But shout out to the people that understood my intentions, because they know my intentions was never to disrespect anyone, diminish any people as a whole. Like, I was young, I was given a name, I grew, I learned from it, I moved on, I changed it. A lot of people say that Lotto stands for Mulatto, it's like a shortened term, but that's not the case. If I could have, I would have put Lotto, because anybody who knows me know I've been playing off of the whole 777 casino lottery theme. So for me, all it is short for lottery. It's just good energy, positive energy, good fortune, forthcoming blessings, and spiritually, financially, emotionally, everything, just positive energy, letting go that negative term that was associated with my career for so long, and now developing, turning over a new leaf and just starting with good energy. Because I felt like in a way that me having a name like that was like historically negative, could have been like holding me back. In a way, like, I don't know. So this new leaf, like, it's just gonna bring a lot of blessings coming in.
What's your heritage?
Okay, so I have my mom on her side. This is a lot of stuff, okay? But I just like to say black and white, but it's a lot of, like, and I'm not talking about like generation, like my great grandma, my grandpa, like, my grandma is Irish and German. like his mother's half Irish, half German. I have Blackfoot Indian. It's a lot of stuff, and that's what people don't know as well. Like, it's a lot of stuff, but to tie it, I just say black and white because visually, that's what you see.
I mean, my heritage, my mom's black, my dad's white, but my whole family's mixed. Up and down the family tree, in the past, in the future, it's just every shade. We got it, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's people take it as, well, we're taking it because there's no longer my name, but people were taking it as like me bragging on the fact that I am, or me taking being mixed as like a personality trait. It was a lot of things that I was seeing and reading that were like completely false, and which made me want to change my name, because I'm like, oh, this what they mean by that? No, that's not what I mean by that. Hold on, let me go back to the drawing board, because that isn't.
What term do you think is more appropriate, mixed race or biracial, or there's nothing in it?
I ain't gonna lie, like I've been told, you know, you're biracial growing up. I don't know. The older I get, I feel like biracial isn't really suitable because bi is two races. I mean, to simplify it, yeah, biracial. To simplify it, yeah. But all in all, if you include in everything, it's just mixed race, like.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girly?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.
Okay, so how did you manage to put out a project, Miss Mulatto, at the age of 16? Like, because you're 16, and then on one of the tracks, Outkast, you're saying, I'm a little girl in a grown man business. Like, you were making major moves very, very early. It's like, you were getting it in, like, because you were saying as well, I've been rapping for years as well. It's like, how long actually have you been rapping for?
I feel like the first verse I ever wrote was at 8 years old. And then I probably recorded, like by the time I recorded my first song and I did my first show and stuff, that was probably like 10. And then from there, it was just up, like building YouTube numbers and Instagram followers, Twitter. I think MySpace was the very beginning, but just like building that social media presence and everything from there, like it was really built from the ground up. Like I used to sell CDs, hand out flyers, like the real original rap hip hop way.
Wow, that's crazy. And did you miss those days, like when it was all so simple?
I don't know. I have a split decision on that or a split opinion because I do feel like it was more authentic and people took it more serious and it was a lot more time and effort that went into it. Like I used to do open mics and I had a real passion for this, you know, but at the same time, the new way with like social media influence and just having a song that happens to go viral and studio time being so available to just anybody can go in a studio and make a song nowadays. It gives people more opportunity. Like you got more people that have a shot at being successful and rich, and that's the goal. I mean, but it gets taken for granted a lot in comparison to people like me who like really love what they do. Like I've been doing this for a kid. Since a kid, I've never had a job. Like this is all I know. You know what I'm saying? So I see a lot of people take it for granted. So I don't know. I'm split on that because it's like I like to see my people win, but it can happen too fast to where you don't appreciate it and you're not grateful enough for it.
Yo, you got this track, right? You put it out in 2017. It's called The Response. This, it's pretty harsh. It's pretty detailed. Like you could say bodied or assassinate. Like you assassinated this person, right? In a major way, from every angle, from their family to the way they look to what they do, their life and everything. It's like you broke down that person's entire persona, life, history, and everything else. Do you still have smoke on demand for anyone who wants it?
I don't know. I had to calm down a little bit. I ain't as hot-headed as I used to be. Like, it used to be like, whoever say my name, yo ass get ate up, period. But now, you know, I got too much to lose now. Like, I got an image to upkeep. I got people that would love for me to name drop them, and then they get viral immediately. Like, I done worked a lot. I've been rapping since I was 8 years old. I've been working a lot. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, literally, that got me to this point and that got me the fan base that I have. So I can't just be giving it away. Like, you got to about what you respond to, because everything is not worth it. And all in all, it's like, I don't have nothing to prove. They know I eat your ass up. They know. They know. So I don't even be, and people do be still trying, but I be just taking the high road.
Okay. Now, Queen of the South, very, very dope. I've been blazing tracks of it on my show, like, ever since it came out. Did anyone question the title? Did anyone try to be like, but wait, did anyone have the guts to say anything?
Yeah, I got on social media, in person. I got a couple comments that was like, what? Like, kind of trying to test the title. But I feel like if ain't nobody gonna give you your flowers, you're gonna have to take your flowers sometimes. And I feel like I done put in the time, the authentic street come up, and I am the queen of the South. And that's not to say that there aren't multiple queens of the South, but just letting you know I'm one of them. Sure.
That's dope. That's dope. What was the inspiration for the cover? The cover's crazy.
Oh my God. I was kind of scared to do that cover because I'm like, how the fuck I'm going to beat this shit? Like, it was genius to me. I'll do it. But with a title like Queen of the South, I feel like I wanted something like aesthetically contrasting each other. So I wanted something super elegant because the queen aspect, but then on the other side, I wanted like some Southern shit to like offset it. So I was like, okay, cool. And my marketing team, they helped me too with RCA. Kayla, shout out to Kayla. Me and Kayla was just like, okay, we kind of just came up with this concept that's like, outfit is like super queen-like, royalty, whatever, but I'm eating hot wings, real South. Sugar and the grits, like, it don't get no more Southern than that. So just like real authentic Queen of the South shit. Like, let me show you what it's like to be the Queen of the South.
I mean, it is a dope project. It definitely laid the foundation in case anyone didn't know who you were already, and definitely made that mark. On The Youngest and Richest, you say, rich at 21, your bitches owe me an apology. Like, it sounds like you've been through it. It sounds like you've had some doubters, you know, what we call haters. But the revenge must feel good, right? The success.
Man, do it. It's like, and it's not even like I have to like call them out so much. It's like the revenge is the success. It's like the proof is in the pudding. You see it. You see me. I don't even gotta address y'all. Like, you see it. Like, I don't even, that's just rap shit. Like, I don't even really expect no apology from nobody. Y'all see it. Y'all know what's up. All
right, so you're very, very dope MC, like you authentic, right? You get it in, you go in and everything. But you know, with the market for female rap, is it all love? Or do you find, do you hear subliminals that maybe the people haven't picked up on yet? Like, is people trying to be a little bit spicy out there?
Yeah. It's all peaches and cream, for sure. It's not me on my end. I was just raised to not be no hating-ass bitch. So I see people doing that shit. Well, I see females doing that shit, and I salute. Like, I be real fans of these girls. I be fans of their music. Like, I be fucking with them. But, yeah, I be seeing shit that's, like, subliminals. It might be some, like, super, super slick to the point where, like, the fans can't even pick up on it. It's more so, like, only me and you know what's up, and I know what you're talking about, but I'm gonna let you slide. Like, but you know what they always say, like, they root for you until you start doing better than them. So once you surpass your competition, you're gonna turn into haters anyway. So, oh well.
Going back to that lyric on Outkast and Miss Mulatto, you're saying I'm a little girl in a grown man business. You're a grown woman in a grown man business now. Like, what's the biggest challenges you faced, like, coming into the music game as a rapper, as a woman? Is there anything that you have to endure that people don't know about? You know what I mean? It's like, is it harder?
Oh, it's definitely harder. Like, I don't care what nobody say. It's definitely harder being a female in this music industry than male, period. I don't care if you're an artist, if you're a manager, PR, fucking sound or lighting. Like, I don't give a fuck. Being a female is harder. And that's not even in the music industry, that's period. Like, I'm standing on that. Like, especially what I've endured, like, child, it's endless. Like, I done had, where the fuck do I even start? I done had DJs, like, speed up my music while I'm performing, try to fuck me up. Man, crazy. I've had producers try to fuck with me, and I don't want to fuck with them, but we already got a song done, and I don't want to fuck with them, so now they ain't trying to clear the song. I done... fucking every time you do a feature with a male art, well, not every time, but pretty much when a male artist want to do a feature, they slide in the DM like, hey, I want a song, let's do a song, whatever. It's like, you got to question it every time to know, like, do he really want to do a song or he on some bullshit? Like, it's so much stuff, like, and I wish I could tell it, like, in detail, but, you know, I ain't trying to get nobody dragged or nothing, but This shit get crazy. Like, and I'm nowhere near, like, my peak. So I can only imagine what, like, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, like, what girls of that caliber, what they deal with. Because I feel like I got my pinky toe in the door. I don't even feel like I got my whole foot in the door yet. And I be having to go through crazy shit. So I can only imagine what they be dealing with. But, yeah, this shit get treacherous, for real.
How do you endure? Like, how do you maintain and keep going?
You know what? The best part of it to me is being able to spoil my friends and family. Like, I love when it's my literally it's about to be my little sister's birthday, and I went crazy for her. Like, I'm so excited for her birthday, Christmas, Mother's Day, things like that. Now, like, I can just go above and beyond for the people that I love. That's, like, the best part. That's what keeps me motivated. Like, I feel like I wanna buy my mama a house. I wanna buy my mama everything in the world. She deserves it. So that's what keeps me motivated, honestly. Like, it's not even, like, the money for me. It's really the money for them.
Like, I just find it fascinating because you've been in it for so long and you're very, very prolific, you know, from your first project. Like, have you been able to come to terms with things more? Like, can you just, like, you know, in terms of, like, what you were saying with the challenges, is it just one of them, like, you can navigate it easier? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. Like, you kind of just take it with a grain of salt, you know, like, hey, this is what it is. If I be that in this industry, then I'm going to have a harder route. I'm going to have a couple of obstacles that I'm going to have to overcome, and it just is what it is. But at the end of the day, when I cross that finish line, it's going to feel way better because I know what I've endured to get to that point. So it's going to hit different. So all in all, I feel like in the end, it'll be worth it.
There's another 15-year-old girl about to put out a mixtape somewhere in the world. Could be the US, could be the UK. What advice would you give to that girl who was in a similar position to you as you first came in the door? Like, what would you say now to that person, like, for some kind of advice?
Okay, it's a couple things. First, I would say be patient. It's a lot of times where I was like, man, I should be where da-da-da at, or how the fuck da-da-da get signed before me. It was so many times where I'm counting other people's blessings instead of enjoying my moment. So I would say for sure be patient. I would say have fun, enjoy the moment, live in the moment. This stuff, it go by so fast. Like, I feel like I did the rap game yesterday and I'm turning 23 this year. Like, enjoy it because it will fly right past you because you're in the studio constantly, video shoots, photo shoots, radio interviews, everything back to back to back to back to back. It's kind of like, wake up, work, go to sleep. Wake up, work, go to sleep. So enjoy it. Enjoy it because you'll look up and it'll be 2-3 years later. And, you know, of course you're happy. You're accomplishing these goals and these moments, but you look back and it kind of is just a blur. So I would say be patient and have fun. Enjoy the moment. When you start looking at this like a job and it start feeling like a job, you need to go back to the drawing board because that's one of the pros to being in the music industry. It's a lot of cons, but one of the pros is this shit feel like fun. Like, this is probably the most fun job there is. So when it start feeling like too much pressure around you and stuff like that, go back to the drawing board, take a break because it should always be fun. But be patient for sure.
One of my favorite joints that you've done is Pull Up with 21 Savage. You killed a track. Like, you, I wouldn't like to say who had who on the track or whatever. It's like you were both just going in, both equal, right? So when it comes to working with other artists, like, you're an amazing lyricist, but is there anybody that has put you under pressure when you've collaborated? Is there anybody where you're like, nah, I need to get the pen out again?
Yeah. I think naturally I'm always just, I'm super competitive anyways. That might be the Capricorn in me because I'm so competitive. So off rip, I'm always going to try to burn everybody, but kind of think who have made me like go back to the drawing board. I know I've like rewritten. Oh, matter of fact, Gucci on Muwop. Gucci. When Gucci sent me that verse back, I said, "Oh hell no, I'm about to read the one." Gucci just got this swag about him. Like, he could rap and say the watermelon in the sky, and he just gonna make it sound so player. Like, yeah, Gucci made me redo my verse for sure.
How important is Gucci Mane to hip hop?
Man, Gucci, I don't give a fuck what nobody said. Gucci is a living legend. Gucci started a whole new era. He's responsible for a lot of swag these days, a lot of flow still present to this day. And then just like longevity, like, you got to think Gucci been that nigga for years. Ain't fell off nothing. He been that nigga, like, and still super relevant, super heavy presence that's clearly visible in the in females and males. You gotta think, years later, I'm redoing his album covers. I was recreating his album covers for social media. So, and people, he's still highly anticipated feature, everything. Like, Gucci is that nigga for sure. When it comes to that like slow southern flow, like, it's so present in today's world.
Is there anything that you learned from him, from working with him, you know, because you did the video, you got a track together, you've been talking. Is there anything that you've clocked and you're like, whether it's advice or the process, or is there anything that you took from working with Gucci Mane?
Okay, process-wise, he definitely made me want to step my shit up because this man records so fast. He record a whole verse in 2 minutes. Like, the verse, the ad-libs, in and outs, everything he done in 2 minutes. Like, that shit how you like, damn, I need to step it up. So process-wise, I definitely say he definitely will have you like, okay, hold on. I thought I was the shit. I need to go back to the drawing board, because he fast as fuck. But some people record fast. You could do a verse in 2 minutes, but it sounds like you did the verse in 2 minutes. Gucci gonna give you a quality verse in 2 minutes.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Who did you reach out to him, or did he reach out to you? Like, how did that come about, that connection?
Actually, originally he wasn't even on the song. It was just me and the producer in the studio, and the producer was like, you know, doing the sample and the beat or whatever, and I'm like, oh shit, like, I love Gucci, like, stop playing. So I'm just ranting about Gucci and how much I love him and how he's my favorite rapper. And then he was like, I know Gucci, like, I couldn't make that happen. I'm like, stop playing, like, don't even play with me like that. So he like, no, I'm gonna call him and see what's up. So he ended up calling him, and Gucci was just like, nah, fuck with her, I want to do it. Like, and then he was like, is she signed? Like, I want to sign her. Like, but the producer told him I had just signed to RCA at the time, whatever. So that didn't work out. But all in all, he was like, man, I fuck with Shawty. Like, I'm gonna do the video, I'm gonna do the verse, like, ASAP, whatever. So.
Okay, so, you know, it started with your father going on video sets, and you were witnessing artists doing their thing and everything else. So do you still speak to your father now, like, at this point in the game, now that you know you're an accomplished artist, you're a name, like, you're known worldwide? It's like, do you still talk to him and be like, yo, what do you think? Or, you know, has he got any kind of input on what you're doing?
I feel like musically, we definitely had to, like, go, I'm trying to say this in the right way, we had to, like, part ways musically. You know, it's always going to be a little, when your daddy is a part of your team, and you rapping about popping pussy, you know. It just comes to a point where it's like, out of respect for you, and for you, out of respect for me, it's like, we just go our separate ways, and it's, I still am super proud of you, and I want to see you win and shoot for the stars, girl, but I don't want to see all that, and I don't want to hear it either, so, and I don't want you to see it, and I don't want you to hear it, okay?
Wow, that must have been a crazy family timeout conversation.
Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't like just one conversation. It was just like, you know, over time and multiple conversations and multiple instances that kind of like was like, okay, I see what this is going to have to turn into. Like, you know.
Wow. Well, that's crazy. Well, you must be happy and proud at the same time, right? Like, seeing what you're doing now.
Oh, he's super proud of me. Like, this was the goal from the jump. Like, my daddy supported me when I couldn't even rap. He seen something in me, and he seen the potential, I guess. Because, child, back then, woo, child, imagine an 8-year-old, whatever the hell I was rapping about. He seen the potential nonetheless, and so he already knew what it was going to be. So he's super proud watching from the sidelines. Like, I knew it.
That's dope. And so what's next? What can we look forward to? What should we watch out for?
I'm so excited to drop my next project. I've been in album mode since the beginning of the year, like, locked in, working with all type of people. The people I'm working with is crazy. I can't wait to, like, let everybody hear this and see who I'm working with and see who the producers are, the features. Like, it's crazy. I don't even know what else to say. It's crazy, and I'm just super curious. Because Queen of the South was like, yeah, I'm that bitch. And now this project is going to be like the elevation. It's like, okay, I told you I was that bitch. Yeah, I know I could rap my ass off. Now let me show you why I just got my hand in all type of motherfucking genres. And I'm going to show y'all why I'm multi-talented. Like, the Queen of the South has to be a plethora of flows, all type of shit. Y'all just going to have to hear. I can't even give too much, but it's on the way. I've been working on it since the beginning of the year, so it's a lot of time and energy that went into this, and a lot of, like, finding myself, too. So you're going to hear it.